to the Diabetes Revolution podcast with Dr. Sarah Townley, the type 2 diabetes coach, clinical pharmacist, and mom of six angels. You don't have to struggle and fight with your blood sugars for the rest of your life. I'm here to teach you the skills you need to control and even reverse this disease. There is such a thing as getting off your meds and creating a future free from diabetes, and you can have it too. Let's get down to business. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the podcast. I am just so excited to be here. I have an awesome topic for you today. Before I get into it, though, I want to just share with you a little bit from my personal life, because sometimes I feel like, I'm doing the work in my life that you're doing in your life in just different ways for different goals, but it's the same work. And I wonder if this aha moment I had just the other day with the help of some of my good friends would help you too, because I felt in the last several months that I've just kind of hit this slump. You know what I mean? It's like that low in motivation, low in inspiration, low in wanting to go, go, go and do, which is actually what I love. I love to be busy and passionate and on fire and just really driven. And I just haven't felt that way in the last few months, and I haven't been frustrated about it. I've just been kind of watching and waiting to see what this is about, what's going to happen, you know, hoping it will pass, but not being in conflict with it. That's been my main purpose. But I was sharing this with some of my friends who are into like the spiritual energy world, and they came back with the most incredible amount of wisdom. It was so profound, and I'm still processing it, but I wanted to share it with you today because I wonder if it might help some of you out there. You know, sometimes you reach these points where you're not on those high highs. You're not feeling just great on your game. You're feeling kind of like stuck, maybe. And you're wishing to get back on track or back in the groove or back, you know, in that sense of feeling really driven and purposeful in your day-to-day life and energetic and, you know, having all that vitality. Because I've noticed that this slump hasn't just been in my work. It's also been in my personal wellness regimen. Like, I usually do a lot of working out, and for the first time, I haven't really felt like it. I've done what I thought was necessary to just maintain basic good health, but I haven't felt like I want to just, you know, get after it every single day like I normally do. And I've been questioning, like, what's up with this? This is new and different. But I was talking to my friends about this, and the best thing that came out of that conversation was that one of these wonderful people shared with me that there's this thing called a lull for people who surf. Okay. So there's the, you know, waves that you surf on, but then there's this period of time in between sets of waves where there's this lull. And she says there's beauty in the lull, right? You're waiting for the next set, but there's this moment of pause where there's nothing going on. And this is not, you don't see these surfers in the lull just frantically paddling around, right? They're not trying to do something about the lull. They're just waiting. They're watching and they're waiting. And in that time, they're reflecting, they're appreciating the lull. They're maybe engaging with their friends, just hanging out. And there's purpose in the lull, because this is the time where you watch, you gather your strength. It's the time when you reflect, and it's the time that you rest, so that when those sets come, which they inevitably will, those sets of waves, that you're ready for it, that you can just tear it up, right? You're just like focused and your strength is up and your clarity is up and you're just ready for it. And so this was just so revealing for me, because I felt like, oh, this time where I don't feel like I'm growing, expanding right now is actually has a good purpose for me, that I should be enjoying this, resting and appreciating this time, because it's coming, that there's a stage of growth for me, like there's a breakthrough on the horizon, but it's not right now. And that's a good thing. It's actually serving a purpose for me. So I wanted to pass that along to you. It also reminds me of a statement that somebody shared in my social media network of coaching friends, where they were saying that growth, constant growth, is called cancer. And I love that because it seems like that's what we're supposed to be doing is always growing, but that's actually not true. And it's not, could possibly be unhealthy and not serve you in the end. So friends out there, for those of you who are feeling a little bit stuck, a little bit, I don't know, like just not moving forward and just kind of treading water. Hey, maybe there's beauty in that. Can you find the beauty in that? Because that's what I'm looking for right now too. Okay, so let's talk about the things that impact your blood sugar readings, okay? Because this is information that will definitely empower you to be able to interpret your blood sugar readings. Why is that important? Well, it's important because this information that's coming from your body in the form of a blood sugar reading is a message to you that you want to be able to receive, to integrate, and to be able to take action from. And if you're looking at blood sugar readings that don't make any sense to you, that you can't understand, you're not going to get that message. You're not going to learn anything from that information. There's also another reason why, and this I covered specifically in the very last podcast episode about freaking out about your blood sugars. If you don't understand the readings and they seem unexpectedly high to you or unexpectedly low to you, the mind likes to default to a freak out. It likes to take that information that it doesn't understand and craft and make a story about what that blood sugar reading means, okay? And it could sound something like, that nothing is working, this I'll never figure this out, I'm so confused, something terrible is happening, right? And then you can just create this experience, a whirlwind of emotions that spins you out, overwhelms you, and discourages you. And a lot of times will stop us in our tracks where we can't take any good, positive, constructive action, let alone learn something from that information. And so this podcast episode is all about equipping you with the knowledge that you need in order to learn from every single blood sugar reading. Whether it's, I totally knew that's what it was going to be, it's what I was expecting and it makes absolute sense to me, or I wonder what happened here. I wonder if this could be what's going on. Maybe it's this. And then start to piece together the actual explanation so that you can learn and get stronger and smarter with every single blood sugar reading. And that is going to make you even more powerful in being able to create the results for yourself with your diabetes in your future that you really want. All right, I'm going to split these two groups of or categories of things that impact your blood sugar into two categories, okay? The first one's going to be the things that increase your blood sugar readings. And the second category is going to be things that decrease your blood sugar readings. Now, I'm covering some detailed, kind of, you know, specific, detailed, nerdy-ish information in this podcast with you, which is totally my jam. I'm a big nerd, if you didn't know already. Now you know. But I want you to know that I'm trying to memorize this is going to feel overwhelming, and so I've made it a little easier for you. I'm going to link to this in the show notes, but I've created a cheat sheet for you guys, and it includes the information I'm going to cover today. And it also includes blood sugar goals and blood sugar readings, A1Cs, and their corresponding average blood glucose. And so I want you to be able to access that and download it, save it to your phone, and use it as a reference if you want to as you integrate and apply this information into your day-to-day life, right? Because you're probably checking your blood sugars every day, at least once. And that number is, you're going to need to be able to make a judgment about whether or not you like that number and you want more of those, or if you want to see better and why you want to see better and how to create that. Okay, so the things that increase your blood sugar readings, the most obvious are going to be things like your food, the things that you're drinking, right? And artificial sweeteners and caffeine. These are going to be the food items that I'm going to talk about first. Of course, carbohydrates in your food and in your drinks are going to have the most massive or powerful impact on your blood sugar readings because carbohydrates, if it's not glucose and the form of glucose, which most of our food is not, Glucose is what you're checking, right? When you're checking your blood sugar, your blood glucose. Most of the carbs that we eat are not in that form, but they get converted into that form. And we eat a whole lot of different kinds of food that eventually gets converted into glucose. And so understanding your food and what's causing your blood sugar to rise is paramount. I will do another podcast episode just about that, okay? But for now, I'm going to keep it simple. We're going to be looking at just the things that increase your blood sugar. And so anything that contains a carbohydrate in any form, except for the fiber that's underneath that carbohydrate category, is probably going to impact your blood sugar. And carbs show up in drinks, even alcohol. And so you're going to want to make yourself very keenly aware of what's in your food and what's in your drinks. Now, something you might not have known could increase your blood sugar, that's not just straightforward, are artificial sweeteners. Now, artificial sweeteners don't always do this, and you might be one that's more sensitive to one type than another. And I'm talking about all non-nutritive sweeteners. This is essentially anything that we use to sweeten our food or drink that doesn't have an energy value to it, no calories in it. And, you know, sweet and low and equal have kind of gone out of style, I guess, but we're using things like stevia, Splenda, monk fruit, erythritol. Boy, I should do a podcast on just those, right? But there's so many of them now. And these, in some people, can create a rise in blood sugar. The exact mechanism, we don't really know. But it has something to do with the hormonal response of the taste of the sweetness in your mouth and the way that those non-nutritive sweeteners interact with your gut. So, are you one that is going to be sensitive to stevia or Splenda? I don't know. The only way for you to know is to eat to your meter. And this is a technique I've covered in the podcast early on. It's just checking. You need to test your body and ask your body, is this something that you are going to react to? Are you going to have a spike in blood sugar with this particular test item? So artificial sweeteners is something you may not have known, but you may want to test for. And then the third food item is going to be caffeine. And this is also not straightforward. So the reason why caffeine in some people, and you may not be somebody who has this, or you might be, you have to test to know. Caffeine in some people can act on your body like stress hormones, okay, like adrenaline or something that is a stimulant, because that's what caffeine is. And those things can provoke your liver or ask your liver to release some stored energy in the form of glucose, right? And so caffeine is something that can, for some people, cause this same mechanism where we let go of stored energy from the liver and see that showing up in the blood sugar. Hey, now you know. Maybe you should test if you're wondering if this is you. All right, so moving away from food items that increase the blood sugar, let's talk about some other things that can do the same. So there are some medications that are prescription that can increase your blood sugars. It's good to know what they are because a lot of times they catch you off guard, kind of get a little blindsided by them. A big category of prescription medications are going to be certain mental health medications that are in the class of antipsychotics. However, antipsychotics are not always used for psychosis, like schizophrenia. We use things like Abilify. The newest ones would be like Latuda, and drugs like Seroquel for lots of different conditions like bipolar. Unfortunately, a lot of them are being used in things like some insomnia. And so if you're on a drug that's in that class, it's very common to see people gain weight and see their blood sugars go up, and they can develop metabolic disease like diabetes from those drugs. Another class that predictably will increase the blood sugar of prescription medications is going to be steroids. So if you've ever had like a terrible allergic reaction or a really awful breathing, you know, infection that affects your breathing, you might be prescribed steroids. And these are things like prednisone, basically. And these are drugs that are steroids. They're going to act on your liver very similarly to your natural cortisol and to stimulate the release of blood of sugar into your blood. And they also directly cause insulin resistance. And so it makes it more difficult for you to use the sugar that's in your blood when you're more insulin resistant. So that's why steroids can cause higher blood sugar readings. Very common. All right. And then there are certain antibiotics that I'll mention that can also cause an increase in blood sugar, like Levaquin or Cipro. And so these are some of the most common ones. And I just want to give you a heads up on that, but not spend a whole lot of time on it. Let's move on. Let's talk about some things that you may not have even realized could cause a rise in your blood sugar. One of the biggest curveballs for a lot of people is high-intensity exercise. High-intensity exercise means you're really uncomfortable. You're huffing and puffing. You're physically maybe even in some pain because it's so uncomfortable. The reason why is because your body is designed to, through evolution, to prioritize your survival. And in our evolution, when we have had to jump up and run really fast away from a predator, our bodies are designed to help us mount that demand in oxygen and in energy. And so our livers will release a lot of stored energy in response to adrenaline or some of those stress hormones that get released during high intensity exercise. Does that mean you shouldn't do high intensity exercise? Heck no. That's not what that means. It just means that if you've been, raising your heart rate and breathing really hard and you see that rise in blood sugar, it's normal. It's what's supposed to happen. And it should normalize quite rapidly after you stop exercising. Of course, you always want to be checking in case you're the person that actually gets really low. Okay. All right. So number six is going to be infection. Okay, this is one that I see often. Infection, and it can be any kind of infection, and it can even be like just a mild cold. Okay, so for some people, having just a mild cold, they don't even really think about it or notice it until it starts showing up in their blood sugars. And they're like, wow, my body's really fighting this infection, even though I'm not really noticing that I'm that sick. Now, if you're really, really sick, yes. Absolutely, you're going to see that showing up in your blood sugars most likely. Your body's under stress and it's trying to help you overcome and survive whatever threat is happening in your body. Starting to see a pattern here? That kind of is a great transition into another thing that causes an increase in blood sugar, which is physical pain. Okay, physical pain can actually be quite dramatic in its ability to raise the blood sugar. So much so that in people who don't even have insulin resistance, we can see blood sugars over 200 in response to having a lot of physical pain from a physical injury, like breaking a leg or something like that. Okay. And so if you've got some pain that's cropping up in your body, absolutely it's possible it's going to show up in your blood sugar. And then any kind of physical stress, just like pain, such as sleep deprivation, can do the same thing. When you're sleep deprived, your body goes into survival mode, right? You're in fight or flight. You're trying to survive. And anything that prompts you to be in survival mode is going to elicit that same survival response of increased blood sugars, increased heart rate, increased awareness, right? And that's a good thing. And it's so predictable and so well developed that it can even happen with emotional stress. Okay. So I'm talking about when you are on the phone with your insurance company and you are getting really irritated by the conversation, or you are on the road driving and somebody cuts you off and about hits you, or you get into an argument with your mate or one of your children and a check bounces or something happens that gets you. You can feel the emotion rising up in your body that's very unpleasant. It is absolutely possible to see your blood sugar shoot up. If you're wearing a Freestyle Libre, you can watch this real time. Check your blood sugar and watch it go up. And sometimes it goes up 100 points because that's how effective our bodies are at responding to any kind of threat. Okay, so let's talk about a couple of other weird curveballs that you may not know raise the blood sugar. And the next one's going to be smoking. smoking or nicotine, I'm talking about smoking cigarettes or really anything that contains nicotine. So this would also include chewing tobacco. Smoking has the ability to raise your blood sugar as well. It can directly raise the blood sugar and it can cause worsening insulin resistance, especially in the fat cells, which is not where you want. You don't want to have worse insulin resistance, right? Because not only are you going to have a rise in your blood sugar, but you're not going to respond to the blood sugar that's there very well. You're not going to be able to use it because your insulin resistance is getting worse. Okay, and then the last one that's really counterintuitive for lots of folks out there as something that will raise your blood sugar is fasting. Okay, so fasting, of course, you would not expect to see blood sugars going up, 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 right? You haven't eaten anything. If you've been fasting for 12 or 15 or 20 hours and your blood sugar is going up, not down, of course you're going to wonder what on earth is happening because you didn't eat anything. Where is this coming from? So I want you to answer that question. Where would your blood sugar be coming from if you haven't eaten anything? Well, it's going to come from your own body, right? So this is what's going on in fasting. When you're fasting, this is the most powerful tool you can use to reduce your insulin levels. Okay, and this is good. We want the insulin levels to fall because in type 2 diabetes, the problem is actually caused by high insulin levels. So if you can fast, you really drive those levels down. And when you drive those levels down, your body has the opportunity to access and release stored energy. And another hormone that's the exact opposite of insulin is able to do its job. It's called glucagon. And it provokes the liver to let go of stored energy. And in people who have insulin resistance, there not only is there a lot of storage, but it's pent up. Okay, there's actually this lack of space that's happening in the liver. And so when the liver gets the green light to let go, oh boy, does it come rushing out. And so that's why you can see quite a large rise in your blood sugar as you liberate stored energy that really needs to be let go, because that is how we are designed. We're designed to fast and we're designed to feast. We're designed to have unpredictable food resources. And so we store energy for times when we don't have food readily available. And so it's important that we allow our bodies to release stored energy. And if you're fasting, this is the time we do this. Does it last forever? No, it is a means to an end if you do it consistently. However, it may throw you off. It may really freak you out and confuse you if you don't understand what's happening. Okay, so let's just recap. The things that increase your blood sugar are foods like carbohydrates, drinks that contain carbs, artificial sweeteners and caffeine only in some people, and you would have to test to know. Medications can increase your blood sugar, high intensity exercise, and then things that create a physical stress on the body like infection, physical pain and sleep deprivation, and then there's emotional stress that is also creating a stress on the body. And then there's smoking that increases your insulin resistance and your blood sugars. And then last is fasting. Okay, so let's move on to things that actually can decrease your blood sugar. This is super helpful to know. The list is not as long as the list we just covered, but knowing these things can be quite useful if you are trying to affect a fall in your blood sugars intentionally. Okay, so of course, the most obvious of these is going to be your diabetes medications, right? Anything that you're taking to reduce your blood sugar will decrease your blood sugar by design, hopefully. Now, if you have your blood sugar fall too low, because you're taking insulin or some drugs like that, after it falls low, it can rebound high, but essentially all your drugs that you take for diabetes one way or another are supposed to decrease your blood sugar. Now, the second thing that decreases the blood sugar is going to be exercise that's low to moderate in intensity. This is so good to know because it's actually really powerful. Your muscles contract when they are exercising, and a contracting muscle that is insulin resistant does not require insulin to access glucose when it's contracting. Okay, so it's this loophole around its insulin resistance where it can get at that glucose in your blood sugar, in your bloodstream, and use it for energy, even when it's insulin resistant, because it's contracting. And so your muscles become like big sponges and they just soak up all of that sugar that's in your bloodstream. So even if you just went for a walk after your meal, or if you had something in the 200s and you really wanted to help bring it down, even just going for a walk would actually be quite powerful in helping you, you know, affect a lowering in your blood sugar. Okay, there are some supplements that can reduce the blood sugar. So we're talking about things like cinnamon, chromium, berberine, and then there's a whole host of products that people want to sell us for our diabetes that have 10 plus ingredients in them. And of course, some of those things are going to be able to reduce the blood sugar. Do I recommend any of them? No, I don't. I believe they are a distraction. However, if you're taking them for the right reasons, being reasons that feel good to you as not being the solution to your problem or a distraction from what the work that really needs to be done, then I don't have anything against them at all. I just don't prescribe them or tell people they need to take them. Like people who work with me, they don't buy anything. I don't tell them to go buy anything to take in addition to doing the work with me on the lifestyle. Okay, a fourth thing that can reduce blood sugar is apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar in the liquid form with the mother, okay, that's in the, you know, in a pill form, it'd be a supplement, right? But I've always seen it used and recommended in the groups I follow, like Dr. Fung's fasting group, to be used in its liquid form with the mother in it, which are those floaties, right? The brand Bragg's has that in it. And you can take it straight or you can dilute it. And a lot of people are using this, say, at bedtime to help head off the dawn effect, which is the topic I want to cover in the very next episode of this podcast. But you can use this at bedtime as an experiment to see if you can reduce the effect of the dawn effect. And you can use it before meals to help you metabolize carbohydrates better. And some people just take it randomly. It doesn't matter, but if you do it consistently and test, you will be able to determine if this is going to help you reduce your blood sugar or not. Now, for people who are trying to affect a rapid lowering in their blood sugar, I've been told by many, many countless numbers of diabetics anecdotally that drinking extra water helps flush their system out so that they can bring their blood sugar down more quickly. Now, you don't want to go crazy, right? Drinking too much water can be dangerous, but drinking a couple extra glasses of water won't be dangerous, and it can help bring down your blood sugars a little quicker. And then the last thing I want to mention, if something that can decrease the blood sugar that you wouldn't want to do intentionally would be, but just to know this for your own awareness for safety reasons, would be to know that drinking alcohol in excess can precipitate a low blood sugar. Why is that? Well, it's because alcohol is a toxin. It's known as in your body and identified in your body as something that must be immediately addressed because it's a threat to you. And so your body's very good at metabolizing and eliminating alcohol and will prioritize that. And guess what? The organ that's doing that's your liver. Your liver is also responsible for releasing stored energy when your blood sugar gets too low. But if it's busy and occupied taking care of that alcohol, it's going to drop the ball on that sometimes. And if you were consuming a lot of alcohol without eating anything, you might put yourself in a position to experience this. And if you're on medications, you are even more likely to see this happen. And so that's why a lot of diabetics are told not to consume alcohol if they're on their medications for diabetes. Okay, so don't forget, you can get the summary of this information in the show notes by grabbing that cheat sheet. Being able to interpret your blood sugar readings is so empowering because you can't change what you don't understand. And so this episode is all about helping you gain that awareness so that you can feel more in control and be able to learn to affect and take action to create the blood sugar readings that you really want to see for the rest of your life.
High five for tuning in with me today. You are getting smarter and stronger when you show up for yourself this way. You can get more free tools to help you control type 2 diabetes on my website, sarahtownlee.com. And if you're serious about ending your struggle with diabetes, join my membership, The Diabetes Revolution, where you work with me in a community of people just like you. See you on the next episode.